support in terms of policies in South Africa and promoting children's ability, but we currently are seeing almost around 10 million babies into the country. But again, part of the issue is how we are able to leverage, for example, the human media statistics, the huge number, almost around 10 million, coming from the continent. The numbers are dropping or either improving in particular areas. And when you receive the presentation from SAT, they give you the statistics so that you can see where the challenges are and where we are looking at when you receive that presentation to you. But basically, part of our responsibility is to be able to say, how do we ensure that we bring tourists, but not only bring tourists from international platforms, but also increase tourism within South Africa. So making sure that South Africans themselves get to be able to see their country. So that would be part of the issue that we focus on in terms of domestic travel campaign, that we have to be able to enhance the work. So we work out the detail of the nitty-gritties, how and where, and later communicate it to the participants who also participate on the 10th chapter. But the other issue that is important is to highlight the stability, because sometimes we put plans and we never explain that who are the people who are going to be implemented. So, as we always say, stability in the department is quite critical, so that we are able to achieve our objectives. And right from a leadership point of view, I can say that we have a stable department, but also in terms of vacancy rate, as I say, we say this level of assessment level of vacancy rate. But the challenge more would be around the ceiling that has been set by treasury in terms of recruitment, because the ceiling, remuneration ceiling that we're not supposed to fund, and that we continue to observe as the department, and the CFO will go into the government responsible for corporate and like that. But I think part of the issue is that we're able to say we are a stable department, and therefore with a lesser capacity to be able to achieve that from the money that we have. And upfront in the case, Chairperson, that when we deal with SAT tomorrow, you are going to note that the CEO, who is employed there, is not there, has been suspended, and the process is in place. We've asked SAT for dealing with the process. They are meeting today to finalize processing the process and not charge. Because I feel extraordinary investigation. So when we deal with that and complete the action, to give us an indication, because it should be a long time where people are suspended and they're not charged or done anything. So upfront, I want to be able to say that. And we'll be able to get a report tomorrow, as promised, and the report that will give us a report in terms of the process, because we want them to have a statement as well as an entity to be able to meet our objective. So overall, Chair, we are presenting this and the team will take us to a high level, but we believe that we have an opportunity to be able to make a tourism sector, as it is one of the critical role players in the economy, in terms of driving economic development, contributing to job creation, and making sure that we turn the situation around. It's one of the sectors that is growing. When you look at the GDP contribution, most of the sectors, when they contracted, we were able to see growth. But we have to be deliberate and see where are the numbers coming from. And obviously, as part of the work that we are doing going forward, we'll have a strategic plan, basically strategic planning session, both in the department and we take the department to be able to translate what is happening for us to be able to achieve. I know upfront, Chairperson, as legacy reports highlight the issues from previous parliaments, we will, as we deal with the strategic plan, deal with them in detail, because those are in the legacy report that the committee has produced, that highlights the challenges around the strategic plan, the 5-5 strategies that have not been really implemented and will be implemented when we come tomorrow. But second, in terms of the issues that have been raised around information development, that we look into the success of the weaknesses of the us to report, we also will be able to speak in detail as we do our strategic plan to them in advance. So later, once we gather, we table our next five-year chairperson, we take into cognizance the issues that have been raised by the people that we take to the engineering department in the region now, so that we make sure that we are able to respond and to those issues. So with those two words, I just want to thank you, chairperson, and honorable members, and indicate that we are interested to go out to make it together as the department and the committee.
Thank you very much, Minister. So we are now going to have the opportunity of this afternoon. Okay. Are we sufficient to audible? We are.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairman and Honorable Member, for the Minister's introduction. We have the entire team of management, people that are directly responsible for specific programs. They will come in, they will speak to the various programs that they are responsible for. Honorable Chairperson, you probably have noted that it's an able team of female-only DPGs. So in the department, if you were to look at level 15 and 16, which basically would be the top management, I would be the only name in that particular team. So, we will go through the legislative and policy mandate, highlight some of the targets that we have got in the National Social Sector Strategy. And then we'll go into the vision, mission, and the goals and some of the specific which they will speak to. I do think upfront I should say that we are able to we have an able team, but there is things that we can improve. And I think as we get into the season, they to start becoming clear on the areas that we need to continue and improve on. The overall legislative mandate comes from the 12 Act 2014, which replaced the last Act, which was the 1993 Act. So this actually brought it in line with the Constitution of the Republic. And within that, what we really want to do, we want to I want to go a little bit back in 1997, we had a white paper, and that white paper encompasses broadly what tourism should look like in the country. The bulk of what is in that particular white paper, it is still to date relevant. But the Act then brings some of those aspects into a level of enforceability, if one could put it like that. So the focus, we do have a focus in terms of creation of jobs. We do have a focus in terms of contribution to the GDP, and the figures will speak for themselves. We do have a focus in terms of inclusivity of the make this inclusivity job, so it's inclusivity in terms of growth with jobs, but it's also the inclusivity in terms of making sure that the benefits accrue to all South Africans. And we also then have to look at the quality of the product that we offer in the country and practices of responsible tourism. And therein would include accommodation for people with disability when it comes to issues of product and quality and better accessibility. But it would also include other aspects of responsibility, such as the extent to which communities would be able to participate in the tradition of tourism. I will not read the aim of the Act. Suffice to say that it empowers us to be able to do domestic and international marketing of tourism. And also it then gives us the ability to deal with the issues of product quality. And I do believe that we would talk more about this when we also bring in the amendment at the appropriate time. The NDP, I will pass that, but suffice to say that significantly highlighted within that as one of the drivers of the growth of the economy. The pillars that we have in the National Tourism Strategy, which also become the pillars that we largely focus on in how we translate our mandate in terms of electoral mandate, in terms of policy mandate that we have from government, in terms of the mandate also that would have come from legislation. We focus on effective budget, and there will be a lot of this discussion, as Minister has already alluded to, when the meeting comes in. Facilitation of the ease of access to the destination. The essence of this is whether it is about the ability to get to a particular place on the ground, in terms of roads, whether it is the ability to get people to make a choice about South Africa as a place they would rather go to over another, because it becomes a lot more easier for them to be able to do their bookings, to get the necessary papers, to be able to come here and so on, but also to get information. The issue of visitor experience. Honorable Chairman and House members, we work here a lot with other spheres of government as well. But this experience starts from when somebody is seeking information about coming to South Africa. And it ends when someone says goodbye and gets into that particular flight and leaves South Africa. So all the things that happen in between, whether it is the kind of experience that one gets at the product one gets at an attraction site, the experience one gets at an airport, the experience that one gets with a tourist guide, these are all the elements that we talk of, and we have got certain specific interventions that then attend to how we can continuously improve that particular experience. Then we've got the issue of broad-based benefits, and in the main here, is how do we make sure that we transform the ownership patterns in the economy with regard to tourism. We improve the levels of participation of previously marginalized South Africans in the tourism economy. So some of the details would come out clearly as we go into the details of what exactly can get done with regard to that. This slide I've spoken to, I was going through it basically as well. Discussing the other areas. Now, that we foresee that it will be able to take us to this particular flight with regard to the results. And it's a reference to 2015, because that's the time that we're concluding this particular strategy, which would have been this NTS assesses 2016 all the way to 2026. So it covers all of that particular period. And the increases that we would like to get to, this is projected based on a model that is built by the World Tourism and Travel Council, which has made certain assumptions about the supply side issues, which would be issues of connectivity, getting flights to Africa, which would be issues about the extent of investments on the product base that would be able to ensure that we can continuously accommodate the numbers that we projected, and certain things that should also happen in the marketing environment that would get us to that. So we project that by 2026, we should have about 1 million people directly employed in the tourism sector. So that number is cumulative. I think I should state that it's a cumulative number. So by then, we'll be saying in the sector we've got 1 million people that are employed directly. But with all the other multiplier effects, which would not have taken place if it was not because the services were being provided to tourism, that number then goes to 2.26 million in terms of people that will be employed in the sector. And the other number that I think is important would be the GDP number, which runs closer to a trillion if you're looking at it from the point of view of the direct and indirect impacts that we could get from the sector contribution. In brief, our interventions involve either getting the right policy environment so that we are able to grow the sector, or targeted interventions on how we improve people's skills, on how we make sure that so they could be related to enterprises development, but that would be the capacity of such enterprises. They could be related to the extra training of people that would then participate in the sector to provide these services and so on. So there's one category which is policies, the category which deals with people-directed interventions. Both of those things that I was talking about with regards to this experience would then fall within this category. And then the last one would be places. Now, this is where are we going to bring about these experiences? Where are we going to bring about these products? Where are we going to bring about these new attractions and so on? And how they will look like, and how different would they be from what others are offering in other countries? What would be unique about what our offer is as a country better than what others are offering? Our focus areas in terms of policy overall: sector transformation, research and knowledge management. This is critical in the sense that without specifically knowing what it is that we need to intervene on, and given that the interventions largely would also have to be done by private sector participation, the question that then comes in would be, how do we make sure that we provide that particular information and it is readily available and people are able to then make use of this to translate this into real tangible opportunities and so on. So there's a lot of work that we do within that particular context. Skills development, we'll share in terms of what is the strategy going forward, but also what are the exact programs that we're actually doing. Destination development. In here we have got the marine and coastal tourism Pakistan reserves that have identified specific areas. And those areas are areas that now the plan goes into details with regards to interventions. Enterprise development, they will give the honorable members details here about some of the interventions, including incubation, as well as the incentive programs and so on that are actually associated with this particular program. And then we've got the responsible tourism, and this is also assessed inclusive of aspects that relate to the participation of the community. Our vision, sustainable tourism development. Four, inclusive growth of tourism contribution to the South African economy. So it is really focused on the South African economy and our role there in terms of how then we make sure that the contribution of the sector itself gets us to where we want to be. Our mission, to grow an inclusive and sustainable tourism economy through corporate and cooperative governance. And we believe that if we do that right, we will then be able to get all the other things to work well so that we're able to get the results. Strategic partnerships and collaboration across the different stakeholders. In some of these partnerships involve communities that are under traditional leadership, as an example, partnerships with municipalities, partnerships with private sector, partnerships with the up-and-coming entrepreneurship community. So they've got their own associations and so on, trying to make sure that we have this problem. But also larger associations, be they in the industry or in the supporting industries, such as airlines and all that. Innovation and knowledge management. And in terms of innovation, we are quite cognizant of the fact that we are living in the era of what industrial revolution. And we need to be awake and alert to that particular environment. Effective stakeholder communication. And this is the most critical, because we can have all the things that we are saying we will do. But if the public does not know that these things exist, it also is not able to interface with the system to be able to take advantage of those. Ultimately, we will not be in a position to get to the things that we have. The objectives of this strategy, we have the first strategy related to matters pertaining to corporate and cooperative governance. And that was linked to outcome of efficient, effective, and developmental orientated public service, which in the end relates to how do we govern the business of the organization to be able to get to deliver what we have targeted to deliver. The second area, objective, is increasing the tourism's contribution to include the economy. Now, this particular one, we have an emphasis on decent work creation. Now, this outcome around decent work creation, for us, we look at it in threefold. The first one is how do we get people to have the right quality of skill. If I'm going into this area and I'm going to be a chef, then I can actually earn what a chef earns, as opposed to getting in there without a particular skill, and then I will probably remain in the bottom of that particular food chain. The second part of it would then be, how then do we make sure that those that can stand on their own are adequately supported to be able to take advantage of their entrepreneurship capability with the support of the ecosystem, whether it's incentives, as I said, and other support mechanisms that relate to being incubated and so on. Comprehensive rural development, we've got interventions here, is one of the areas that will need improvement going forward. We do have a plan in terms of how we're going to handle that. With regards particular to the participation of communities and projects that relate to those communities. Minister is already laying the flag with regards to the EPWP and what we need to do with regards to that. And then creation of a better South Africa and contribution to a better and safer Africa. We do a lot of work within the study community. And we have this philosophical understanding that
for tourism to grow in South Africa, it will not grow as an island. When people want to come to Southern Africa, they want to experience the products that are in South Africa. I'll give you an example which I have on the floor, the Japanese. The Japanese, they would lend the towards Tower special. They would come and spend some time in Cape Town. The itinerary would always include that. They would go back and spend some time in Pretoria. Because of their fascination with flowers and the cherry blossom trees and so on, they want to come to Pretoria when the jacaranda trees are at their season. So they would come and spend some time just enjoying the sight of that during that particular period. But immediately after that, they want to go to Big Falls. So that package has got to deliberately be inclusive of some of the products that are within the region. So they start focus to say, yes, we market South Africa, but we have that understanding that we have to work in that spirit of partnership within the region. I think these are just some of the details which, when the presentation is done in terms of the specifics of what will be done, they will then go through this organizational strategic objective. But both of these, all of these strategic organizational strategic objectives would remain within these two strategically orientated outcome goals overall. I will speak to only but a few. If I take the transformation one, we've got two focus on transformation. The first one is transformation that relates to the sector and how the tools that we've got in place would contribute to changing the structural issues within the current tourism economy. The second one relates to how ourselves as a department with a budget contribute to that particular transformation. So the other one will fall within aspects that relates to inclusive economic growth, but the other one will fall under the corporate and cooperative government issues. Others, I think, as the leaders are going through these things, they will then go through them as well, because they are in all their geographies in this particular objective of education, even education. With that, I would like to invite Dr. to do the presentation of the lunch.
Okay. I think I'll be audible. Yes, from the outset we did indicate that we will prefer that. We don't want to dictate to you the time, but we will be more comfortable if you can try and zero in on the most critical issues you think we need to bring to the table of the committee, so that you don't necessarily take us through the details of the entire presentation. I'm not saying we must cut corners and become food fighters. Yeah, I call it food fighters when you cut corners. Those who speak Afrikaans will know that is a food fight. Yeah. And if you cut too many corners, we call you a food fighter. So I'm not saying we must cut corners, but just go to the most critical so that we can work within the time that we have. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And also the concentration span. Yes.
Thank you very much, Jay, honorable members. As he said, I'm presenting program 2, Tourism Research, Quality and International Relations. just to link it to the presentation that DG just presented to the honorable members, this program relates to the policy pillar where he spoke about policy, people and places. So we are talking about policy in this program. I'm fortunate to work with a team of around 70 people that are working very hard in the office, and we focus on quite a number of areas that are listed there. So we're responsible for policy and strategy development, research, statistics, knowledge management, monitoring and evaluation, international relations, sector partnerships, and public entity oversight. So we are also doing the oversight on South African tourism. I'm not going to go into detail around this, Chair, based on your direction, but just to indicate that the program contributes to three of the department's strategic objectives, number 3, 9, and 11, and we contribute to 6 program performance indicators. And if I remember well, we have around 14 annual targets in our annual performance plan. Just to mention, honourable members, that some of our projects are highlighted on an operational level, are highlighted in our business plan, and you will not find it in the APP. It's the key priority projects that we've included into the APP. Coming to our targets and what we are planning or what we are already doing, not planning to do, we're already in the quarter two. In terms of our first annual target, we are developing a policy framework for our missions to guide them in tourism promotion and facilitation of tourism. Honourable members, this responds to a need to a need for a framework to guide and to pull together the different initiatives that we currently have in working with our missions. It's not that we're not working with the missions, but we're doing it in different ways in different organizations. So we're trying to pull it together so that we have the optimal response out of our working together. Just to highlight that a couple of years ago, we managed to work with DERCO, and currently tourism is one of the pillars of economic diplomacy within their strategy, so it's one of the key deliverables within the mission's APP. So we would like to work with them to guide them in the execution of this target. Then our second target, it speaks to our monitoring and evaluation reports, Chair. Because we are responsible for strategy, we're also responsible for the monitoring of the implementation of the strategy. So we publish an annual report on the implementation of the National Tourism Sector Strategy. We also do a report on the state of tourism on an annual basis. Honourable members, you will notice that there are two targets with regard to the state of tourism. One speaks to a final report and the other one to a draft report. It's like in the same year we publish one and we start with the other one. It's based on the availability of statistics. So we are working on both in 1 year. The next target speaks to our quarterly performance report. So while we are doing an annual state of tourism report, we are also publishing quarterly tourism performance report. Then our next target speaks to our monitoring and evaluation program. In the current financial year, we are busy with the impact evaluation on our capacity building program. So this is the program that the DDG Rampere will present. We are doing, it's been there for a number of years, and we are doing the impact to establish what the impact of that program is. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, we are currently going into the field. It's a project that stems from the previous financial year where we recruited unemployed graduates to assist us with data collection, supply side data collection from all municipalities. In this month, we are putting some of the youth into the field in three provinces, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, and Free State, as a pilot, and then the rest of the provinces will follow soon after that. So the focus of their task is to collect supply side data. And one of the deliverables from that data is to develop a database of black-owned products and services. So that database, we say go live, it's terminology of the knowledge management practitioners, is to say that it must be available, the database. And then secondly, we are also developing an enterprise development and transformation portal. So that relates to our knowledge management work. Then, Honourable Chair, the next slide, 25, relates to the research work that we are doing. Honourable Members, it might look like we're just having a research seminar. It's actually a dissemination platform, and it's the sort of the end of our annual research program, which starts with the research agenda for the sector, not only for the department, the prioritization of that. We have MOUs with universities. We have signed MOUs with universities as our team is very small. And they then assist us with doing the research. The research, the quality assurance of the research is done by an expert forum. The members are appointed by the minister, so we make sure that the whole process from the start, from the conceptualization until the end results are quality assured. And then we also support postgraduate students at these universities in their studies. So in this tourism research seminar, which we host usually in February every year, we use this as a platform where we disseminate, we present the outcomes of the research, and we also give the students an opportunity to display posters of the research that they've been doing. And then we get, of course, responses and comments on the outcomes of the research. So there's a process behind the research seminar, and we use it as a dissemination platform. Then slide 26 speaks to our digitalization work. It's new work that we have started to look into the digitalization in the tourism sector, and our target for this year is to develop a framework for the sector. The next two targets speaks to our international work, and especially within the region. DG spoke about the work that we do within SADC. The first one speaks to a best practices workshop that we host annually. This is an outflow of the number of agreements that we have with countries within Africa. And areas of cooperation within the MOUs are fairly similar between the different countries. So we use this usually between 3 and 5 days every year to, as a platform, to also respond to the agreements that we made in the MOU. So, for example, if we agree that we will share our expertise in quality assurance, we will give the participants an opportunity to not only hear how we do our star grading, but also to do a practical experience of how it's physically done. It's an area that I must say South African Tourism has assisted a number of countries now in quality assurance. So that best practices workshop is used to enhance the implementation of our memorandums of agreement. Um, And then the second target speaks to the implementation of our signed agreement. We do have agreements with around 26 countries around the world. We make sure that we do not only sign MOUs, but that we also have an implementation plan for these MOUs and focus areas. And the MOUs have resulted in a number of tangible projects within the department. An example of that is in our chefs program, we managed to place chefs within ourselves for a year so that they can gain experience there, and through our MOU with the Seychelles, and through our MOU with China, we 2 years or so ago, we had a Mandarin language training project. So there are many more, but I'm just mentioning the two. So this target will then be a report on the implementation of the focus areas in our programs of understanding. Thank you very much, Jay. I'm going to hand over to DDG Tietje, who is already here. No problem, please.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I will end the video following your
document. I'm going to follow from you there. Nothing.
No. If you follow me in the document, the presentation on destination development contained on slides 29 to 48. In a nutshell, this one talks to typical places, spaces, infrastructure, routes, and experiences. So the work that this team does is to actually take ideas, take them through pre-feasibility and feasibility studies, actually find the money to make those ideas materialize, and then we might construct them through our expanded public works program, or we might help somebody else to construct them. So that's really what the pipeline of projects does. In the work that we do, of course, we involve in planning and investment promotion, enhancement of tourism projects, and then the Working for Tourism program. An important point about the work that we do in this team is that we don't own or manage, as the Department of Tourism, any infrastructure ourselves. So the model that we've employed in order to actually improve the tourism infrastructure in the country is to work in partnership with national entities, with provinces, and then with local governments. We basically, in the main, respond to two strategic objectives, which is about diversifying and enhancing tourism, and within that are our investment coordination and destination planning initiatives, and the initiatives that are about destination enhancement. The second one, then, is about creating employment opportunities by implementing our program, and that is the work that we do in terms of our expanded public work program, which talks to both skills development, which my colleague Luigi Rampelli will speak to, and also speaks to infrastructure projects that we implement through the program. The first set of work from a strategic perspective is very important because it's looking at how we develop the next set of tourism destinations in the country. So we are, over the next year, finalizing four master plans. Three of those master plans respond to our coastal and marine tourism areas of work, and one of them actually is linked to science tourism linked to the square kilometre array. So the areas that we're focusing in on is Port Nolloth to Honda Cliff Bay, which is in the Northern Cape, Sutherland to Carnarvon, which is also in the Northern Cape, and then we have Orange River Mouth to the old strip, sorry, that's in the Northern Cape, and then Port St. John to Coffee Bay. We are also then working on developing products that are accessible to domestic tourism markets and to budget-conscious international tourists. And this work then relates to creating a budget resort network and brand. And the work is really about looking at the underutilized assets that we have at a provincial level that could be utilized to create a brand. But also within that, it's also about looking at how we could bring community-owned projects into such a bigger brand in the country. And from a strategic perspective, the regional market, the domestic market, and budget conscious brothers internationally. The next bit of work we're doing is also then about building capacity with our colleagues at local government level. In this year, we are focusing on developing niche tourism, which is linked to township tourism and rural tourism specifically. Last year, we actually did border destination development and planned in destinations with each province. So this work is really about creating broader capacity to build niche tourism, in particular township and rural tourism. And the last bit of work then aligns with creating a pipeline of nationally prioritized tourism projects, which we progressively implement. So at a strategic level, this then links in with the work that's being done around the investment conference, and it's about being able to package those projects that we are able to sell at a national level, but they come from work we've done with provinces and with local authorities. The next set of slides then, slide 36 to 20, begins the work that we are talking about in terms of destination and conflict. So we do a number of things in this area. The first set of them relates to actually creating interpretive signage. Interpretive signage is different to directional signage. It tells the story of the place. So in this year, we're working in five areas to actually do interpretive signage. It's the Kruger National Park, the Golden Gate Highlands Park, the Khalakhadi World Heritage Site, Marikele National Park, and then the Adult Elephant Park. And those are, of course, then in partnership with the owners of those facilities. We also have two projects which we're excited about that are not funded from the national fiscus. They are, in fact, projects that are funded from donor funding. And these two projects are actually, the first one is in Babianskloof. Babianskloof is part of the Cape Flora Kingdom World Heritage Site. So this space is in the Eastern Cape. And there are two things that we're doing at Babianskloof. One is, in this year, constructing a leopard trail. The second piece of work that we're going to do in Babianskloof, and we have appointed a contractor by the end of the year, is to create a visitor information center, which will tell the story of that particular World Heritage Site. The second donor-funded project then is actually the Dinosaur Interpretation Center in the Golden Gate Highlands Park in the Free State. And by the end of this financial year, that construction will be completed. So we are looking forward to hopefully being opening it early in the new year. That's really about telling the scientific story of our fossil record about dinosaurs in the country. Then there are two projects that are very critically important for the Kruger National Park and to actually create access for local communities. And those two projects are Shangoni Gate and the Calabar Wild Activity Hub. For Shangoni Gate, we would, by the end of this year, have appointed a contractor to actually get that gate up and running. And then the second one, of course, is Calabar, and by the end of the year, we're anticipating that all our approvals will be in place. The significance of this is, of course, it allows a greater entrance into the Kruger National Park, but also the development of products that could be community-owned and run. We then have three initiatives, again, aligned with our coastal and marine tourism network. We have done a complete supply and demand analysis of our four coastal regions. And in the next year, we are actually working with KwaZulu-Natal on the Harold Johnson Nature Reserve. We are working with the Eastern Cape on the Hole in the Wall. And then we're working with the Northern Cape on the Orange River Mouth to, in fact, actually develop plans for how we improve and enhance the product offering in those spaces. This next piece of work is really linked to the Job Summit. We, through the Job Summit, are running a maintenance program in all of our national parks in partnership with Grand Park. Over a period of 3 years, this is anticipated to create 605 work opportunities and actually SMEs development. So the strategy around what we do in the space is that we try to improve the infrastructure we already have in order so that it can perform better. And then we build new as a kind of second resource in some places, but in some places where there's nothing, we also have to build new. So this work then links to actually improving all of those already very well utilized, but in some instances falling into disrepair national parks. Over the next year, we're working with 5 parks, but this will expand to all 22 in the 3-year period. The last slide then, honorable members, speaks to our expanded public works program, and there are 2 targets linked here. The first one is around the Blue Flag Beach program, where we're working across the country to maintain the status of Blue Flag beaches where they do have them, and to actually build the beaches where we don't have Blue Flag status to actually get to that point. Our full-time equivalent target that we have for this year around job creation, the target we get from the Department of Public Works, and it's linked to the budget that we receive, is to actually create 4,331 full-time jobs over the next year. So I think the Minister and DG have both spoken to this. We've learned a lot of lessons over the last few years around the Times and Public Works program. And at the moment, we are currently implementing a lot of the recommendations that we've recently received on how we roll out infrastructure projects. But this is an area that I think we're constantly learning about, and DG Rampene will talk to that, and I will run her presentation from here.
Excellent. Thank you, Chair. And I'm going to indicate that this is a forum. We have 5 government indicators with 22 targets. And on the strategic objectives that are here, we are responding to 5. The first one being strategic objective number 2, which is to enhance understanding and awareness of the value of tourism and its opportunities. Another strategic objective being to accelerate the transformation of the tourism sector. Strategic objective 6 being to facilitate the development and growth of tourism enterprises to contribute to inclusive economic growth and job creation. The 8th strategic objective, number 8, is to diversify and enhance tourism offerings. And the last one is strategic objective 7, which is to facilitate tourism capacity building program. The first KPI is on the number of awareness sessions that you are going to host. We have 2 awareness sessions, the first one being on local government, tourism here in India. Basically here the target is our practitioners within municipalities, our LED officers, counselors, as well as officials dealing with economic development within local government. Basically for them to share best practices, and we are doing this together in terms of coordination with BAGWA. The second one is on sharing information within provinces, and we'll be having 4 provinces that will be able to share this information with. And we are responding to the service delivery improvement plan, which we are expected to do as a department in terms of ensuring that our programs are shared with communities. The next is on our tourism incentive program. We have 5 projects on that one. The first one being market access support program. Here we are assisting enterprises both to be able trade within the platforms internationally as well as domestically in terms of the roadshows so that they can exhibit their work out there for them to be able to get tourists from in as well as outside of the country. Here we call for applications, and the following quarters will be approving those applications for them to participate in the various trade platforms. have tourism grading support program, which is managed by the grading council in SAT. And here we are discounting for establishments to be able to grade, but at the same time to make sure that they remain graded. And we have another incentive, which is the Green Tourism Incentive Program, managed by IDC, but we are participating in terms of the committees on evaluation as well as the accreditation. And here we are encouraging private sector to move towards a cleaner and renewable energy and water sources to facilitate increased competitiveness in terms of making sure that they are sustainable. And then there's a new one that we're going to come up with, which is the Tourism Equity Fund, which also will be managed by ICC. Here we want the enterprises to be able to get grants from our side, but at the same time leveraging the loan from IDC. In future, we want to also bring on board other financing institutions to play in this space as well. We have the Tourism Transformation Fund managed by NEF, and it's a combination of grant funding, debt finance, as well as equity for black investors and community-based projects in the tourism sector. And the grant is kept at 5 million from our side. Then we have a number of initiatives that we are supporting for domestic tourism. Basically here implementing the strategy that we have. We are going to pilot what is called an incentive scheme as a way of facilitating travel among our community around the parks that we have identified, which is Kuta Park, Golden Gate, Kalahari, Maracaibo, and the islands. And basically here we are saying communities around this park, some of them, they don't even have the opportunity to can move into the park. The other one will be on the issue of social tourism, what we call social tourism, where we will be supporting young people, the elderly, as well as people with disabilities, to ensure that they start also to travel their country, but focusing on the provinces to say, in a province, let's start first by traveling and understanding what is out there in our province, so we can even go to other provinces. And by doing such a thing with the youth, we'll be building future travelers for the country. The other PBI is still on the domestic tourism growth strategy. Here it's about the Tourism Month campaign. On an annual basis, in September on the 27th, it's World Tourism Day. So we do celebrate that annually. And this year it will be celebrated in February. On enterprise development, we've been having incubators. The incubators, basically, we run them for, I'll call it 1,000 days, basically being 3 years, where we are able to support within the tourism value chain, SMMT, for them to be able to grow their business in terms of revenue, in terms of the number of jobs that they will be creating. We have the first one that we did in 2015, Nansec. It's coming to completion this year. We will be closing out in the second quarter. And then we have Manyeleti. We also have Palahora and Mir, which are existing incubators. And this one will be continuing. The three, Manyeleti, Palahora, as well as Mir. In addition, we'll be coming up with new incubators in terms of tour operators, where we will be incubating tour operators across the country for them to be assisted in terms of the pricing, in terms of how they package their package for tourists to be able to. And then we have an innovation one, On this one, we are going to come up with a visa program where our young people will be supported for them to be able to come up with enterprises that will be dealing with the coffee space. Still under enterprise development, did Shamila spoke about the five hubs that they will be helping in terms of maintenance. But we are saying from the enterprise development side, we need to assist communities to be able to come up with business enterprises in terms of this maintenance, so that when we are out, we will continue to be able to give service to the public. On visitor services, we have an implementation on the responding to the safety of tourists in the country. We have a program that is going to run, it can already started running in all the provinces, and in addition, as well as fun parks, as well as fun beach, where we are trying to make sure that our tourists feel safe. We are able to respond, to be proactive, react to them, as well as give the aftercare with an incident. So we've already started with this one. The three provinces that were a little bit behind, because Northwest and Western Cape, as well as Northern Cape, now they are in the city. In terms of the act, we are expected to deal with complaints from tourists. So the complaints that we receive, we are targeting that we need to deal with them 100%. So what we'll be doing is to give support in terms of the resolution thereof of this concern and the type thereof. Then we have capacity building. On the capacity building program, we have 10 projects. The first one being the training of tourist guides on the Mandarin language, which is 20. It will be an addition on the Mandarin that we did 2 years ago. So it will be more of an adding on as we move forward. We have what we call a National Tourism Career Expo, which basically is to get young people to have an understanding on this and sector, be able to really want to be part of being the people to participate in here, or as a way of a career choice for most of the young people. We normally hold this NCCE in a province 3 years consecutively. We are now in the Northwest. We started last year. This year will be the second year and will be ending year. Roughly on the 3 days that we have this young people, plus minus 7,000 young people up to those 2 days. And we are hoping that we have done quite a lot of mind change, if I may use that word. We started first with KZN, went to Eastern Cape, went to Sicily, now we're in the next. The second area is on hospitality key youth program. We will be training 3,900 young people. The program that has been going on since 2011. We currently in Mpumalanga, in KZN, housing as well as Eastern Cape, already we are busy with the treatment of young people in the various establishments for them to get experiential training. And we are finalized actually the procurement for Western Cape, Northern Cape, Northwest Mpumalanga as well as Eastern Cape. So we'll be giving reports in terms of how this program runs. The other project is on the chef. Currently, we have 540 young people within this program who are running for 3 years. Actually, it's a diploma that we make sure that the young people need to have. We will be giving reports on this, but the first group will be graduating in the third quarter, and the group that will be finalizing for the first year. We continue to give a report on that. We have what we also call the wife service training program. So many young people started 3 years ago. It's running this year, the last year. We will be giving reports in terms of how it is working. Initially, we had four provinces, that is Western Cape, Gauteng, and Kwazulu-Natal, and Northern Cape. But unfortunately for Northern Cape, they were dropped out and we had to discontinue the community. But in other provinces, we continued well. The food safety quality assurance program, we will be training 1,500 young people across all the provinces. The seventh project is training up 60 young people on the soft efficiency in Northwest, Northern Cape, and Mpumalanga. These are the three last provinces already started 2 years ago. So these are the remaining provinces in terms of this program. And we're doing this together with NCPC for them to be able to audit establishments for energy efficiency in green so that they're able to can capitalize on the green tourism incentives that they have. The AIDS program is on women in tourism program. We will be having 4 capacity building initiatives for women in tourism. We have chapters across all the provinces for women in tourism to be able to be successful for them to be able to run their businesses. The ninth project is on what we call a executive development program, which is being implemented by UNISA. We are training 20 black women and this year. Last year we trained 40. They graduated this year in April. And the last one is on the mentorship, which we are doing together with the industry. It will be commencing as soon as possible. And I need to indicate that it's a partnership where the funding comes from the industry. From our side, is to ensure that they get the right mentee and mentors.
Thank you. Honorable members. I'm going to present on program one, which is corporate management. Our program provides strategic leadership, management, and support services to the department in order for us to achieve good corporate and positive governance. And we do that through three strategic objectives, which is the first one is the compliance and administration. The second one is about communication with our community, the public. And the fourth one deals with procurement from BBBE compliant businesses and SMEs. On slide 71 and up to slide 72, we have the seven indicators that help us to implement our strategy. And I won't go through them. And then going to slide 73. The first one, the first KPI, deals with our audit outcome on financial and non-financial performance. We want to ensure through our targets that our audits are unqualified with regards to financial and non-financial performance. So we see that throughout the year by submitting our report to the Auditor General and National Academy. And then the second PPI deals with our vacancy rate. This is a new target for us. We've raised it from 8% to 10%, largely in response to the ceiling on our compensation budget that we now have instituted across our government. I may just add that currently our establishment is 512 posts. We have 458 of those posts filled, so our vacancy rate currently is 10.5% based on the 54 vacancies. And I might just add that despite our best efforts, only 2 of those posts are newly vacant. But we are making efforts within the department to ensure that where we see capacity gaps, we plug them. One of those is, for example, filling in critical posts with two chief director agencies that now we're going to be filling, but we're also implementing lateral transfers, and we're also doing training through our workplace skills program. We've placed all our additional staff following our new structure. So we are doing our very best to make sure that we plug in any gaps that we might have, but also conscious that we're going for the challenge with this target on our basis today. Slide 74 deals with our compliance with our FT target. Our first target is to ensure that we maintain a 50% women representation at SMS level target. Again, this one, you know, will just depend on whether we are appointing more males and females, but it's right there at the border, so it's only going to be shifting throughout the year. And then the second target is to maintain our minimum 50% people with disabilities. We have done well in this area. For example, currently we're at 4.5%, so it's a stable. And in fact, we overachieved this target. And then the third one is maintaining 91.5% black representation. It's another target that we always do that in. PPI 4 on slide 75 deals with the implementation of our workplace skills program. We want to ensure that throughout the year we're implementing it in its entirety through our training and development interventions. Something new this year is that we are going to be appointing 25 interns rather than the 12-month, running a 12-month internship program. This new course will be over a 24-month program, so that it's a good thing for us to provide those opportunities for young people. And then PPI 5 deals with our implementation of our annual internal audit film, and our plan is to ensure that we succeed in implementing it throughout the year. And then going to slide 76, deals with PPI 6, dealing with the implementation of our communication strategy. We could not put all the details there, but we do have an implementation plan, which basically addresses creating awareness and understanding to the public of the value of tourism, so that we have more people participating and having access to information regarding our services and programs. And here we really want to focus on our communities, whether in townships or rural areas. And then slide 77, the last one, deals with the procurement of goods and services from businesses that are typically e-compliant. And the first one is ensuring that our procurement from businesses or enterprises that are on contributor level 1 to 5. And then the one regarding minimum 30% expenditure is the new target for us. But it ensures that we support our SMEs nationally. And that's the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Lama.
Thank you, Jen. I'm going to take you through the budget. If you can slide 78, you will see that we've got our four programs, administration, tourism, visa policy, and international relations, destination development, and tourism sector support services. You will also see that we provided you with 4 years of expenditure, so we also included the previous year, which is currently under the audit. And then the year that we focus on for today is the 1920 financial year. Our total budget is 2.3 billion. The percentage breakdown is 12.25 administration,
Tourism research 55.6%, destination development 19.4%, and tourism sector support services 12.8%. The reason for the tourism research policy, that is a high percentage, it includes our contribution to SA tourism. The destination development includes our working for tourism projects, and our tourism sector support services includes our tourism incentive program. On the next slide, slide 79, it has a breakdown of our justification for our budget, where you can see that the largest portion is transfers and subsidies, so 1.5 billion or 65% of our budget, and that is because of our transfer payment to SA Tourism. On slide 18, it is a breakdown of the administration component. You will also notice, if you go to slide 81, that administration, the largest component is compensation of employees, 151 million, or 51.8%. The next one, slide 22, as I said, if you go to the South African tourism line there, 1.254 million, 94.2% of this allocation for this program is the transfer payment to SA Tourism. The next slide is slide 83, just the breakdown of economic classification, once again, which is indicating you our transfer payment. If you go to slide 84, destination development, there you will see that our working for tourism is our largest budget component in this program, 80.2%, 371 billion rand. Then on the next slide, slide 85, it does a breakdown of that working for tourism. The largest component there will be under your transfer payments and your capital assets. On program 4, tourism sector support services on slide 86, there you can see our tourism incentive program, 189.5 million or 61.8% of the total budget of 306.8 million rand is going to this program. And then on the last slide, it's the breakdown, the money classification breakdown. The majority of that money is also transfer payment, and it's 56.7% or 174 million rand. Thank you, Chair.
Excellent. That was excellent. Honourable members, that is the presentation. We are from the department ending on the note of the allocation of funds and cents by Mr. Ackerman. Thank you very much, Minister, Deputy Minister. Our intention is now 18 minutes before midday. If you could try and wrap it up by half past 12, somewhere there. Over to you, Honourable Member. Let's hear who's talk. So speaking will be compulsory. So we start from the three. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Just like that. From that side up to here. You can go straight to the point, Honourable Member. Questions and comments.
Chair, thank you. I actually have quite a few questions. I'm concerned about the time restraint, so perhaps I'll give you my questions, and if we don't have time, maybe the department could respond maybe afterwards in writing or something. Possibly because I'm a new member, I might have more questions than normal. But just to start off, is this on? Yeah. I'm curious to hear what the minister said at the beginning of the presentation. about the DG of Tourism South Africa and the fact that it's been suspended. I've done a bit of research online and so forth, and based on that, it appears that there's been no charges being formally provided to the DG. Is this correct? Can I just ask all the questions, or I'll ask them all in India.
Yeah.
So my question really on that is that correct? It doesn't sound right if it is correct, because surely you need to advise the employee, you know, what the charges are and so forth. So perhaps the minister could just unpack that a little bit more, because I'd like to know a little bit more. Then just on the presentation, I'll start at page 8. There are a whole lot of targets that have been set at 2026. The first question is, how have these targets been reached? In other words, how were they calculated to get to these targets? And I see, based on the first column, from my understanding...
Honorable MSF, the minister was making an inquiry as to which page 8 of which...
Of the presentation, I beg your pardon, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm referring to... Yeah.
Sorry
about that. This wouldn't be the question to the minister, I would imagine. This is more to the officials. The first question was to the minister, but I'm sure the minister, if she wants to respond, I'd be happy to hear. So on page 8, there are targets being set for 2026. And my understanding is the column next to it is targets where we were in 2015. That's how I understand it. If that is the case, what progress has been reached between 2015 and 2019 to monitor to see where we are in relation to the final target in 2026? And how has this been monitored? Chair, I'll try and go through because I have quite a few questions. On page 13, we're talking about, you know, it says on page 13, outcome 11, for example, creating a safer South Africa. Now, that's dependent on a different department. How does it work? I mean, you know, it's tourism can't guarantee the safety that's being set for as an outcome. So if that could just be explained to me, this would be policing, I would imagine. So how is this being done, and how is it that tourism puts such an outcome when it actually has no control in reaching this outcome? I hope I'm making myself clear. And then the presentation was when the officials were talking, used the example of the Japanese example where, you know, they like to go to specific places and so forth. This might be the wrong place, it might be Tourism SA. Have you segmented the different tourists and, you know, what markets are interested in what and so forth, so that we can accommodate them accordingly? So if the Japanese like something specific, but the Indians might like something completely different. So that should be unpacked for me. I'm sorry, these may be elementary questions, but it's my first meeting of tourism, so I hope I'll get cleverer over time. Then on page 23, it talks about... This is research, essentially. Has research been done on the creation of jobs in the sector? And in particular, getting poor people and possibly even lowly educated people into a sector that they can then earn an income and have opportunities. So this might be the wrong place to ask it, but I think it's quite fundamental to, if it's not the right place, then perhaps you could tell me where it is. Then on page 29, I'm just trying to read my own handwriting. Okay, so it's talking about here about destination and so forth. Has planning been incorporated to ensure that these destinations are long-term and sustainable. My concern is that I see, as I was reading all the other documents, is that the tourism is dependent on a whole lot of other departments, whether it be police, whether it be home affairs, whether it be forestry, you know, with sand parks. I'm trying to understand how is it that tourism can do a lot of its work when it's reliant so heavily on other departments. Is there an interministerial group or something that coordinates all this and so forth? So I'm trying to just understand that. So, you know, and so that's really my question, is how is this ensured that this is long-term and sustainable? And then it talks about, you know, the presenter specifically said that you don't have your own infrastructure and that you rely on provinces, other departments and so forth. So how do you ensure that these things actually happen? And how do you ensure that they're maintained, that these things actually do happen in the first place? So I'd be interested to hear about that. On the next page 30, a few times the EPWP program is referred to. My hesitation with that program is that it's not really a long-term permanent job. I mean, these are jobs for a specific time which then ends. What is being done to move away from that kind of employment to make it permanent, where people have sustainable long-term jobs that actually generate income and contribute to the economy? So I'd like perhaps that be unpacked. On the next page 31, there's a whole lot of different places that have been mentioned. Port Nolloth, etc., etc. How were these places reached? How did you decide that these are the places that you need to prepare plans for? Because I'm kind of looking here and I'm seeing, like, for example, with due respect to anybody from the Northern Cape, it's incredibly difficult to get to the Northern Cape in the first place. How do we know that tourists would want to go there, and why would you want to, at this stage, have a plan for areas which are very difficult to get to? Surely you'd go for the low-hanging fruit and plan that those first, and then get to the more difficult places. So if that could be explained to me. And that goes on the next page, and a whole lot of other places also mentioned, Port St. John's, etc. So they're beautiful places. I'm just trying to understand how we got to, was there a scientific research or some kind of way that you ascertained that these places tourists really want to go to and would add bang for your buck in the most efficient way? On page 42, it talks here about a dinosaur interpretation center, which fascinates me. How is it insured? I mean, it sounds like it's a new project. So you could just talk about, first of all, how is it we're ensuring that it's sustainable in the long run, that actually functions and is maintained and so forth. And secondly, the marketing aspect of it. In other words, telling people about it. It's all very well and great to have something like that, but if no one knows about it, no one's going to go to it. So that could be unpacked. I'm using this as an example, but there seems to be a lot of these type of projects, and I'm interested to hear how it is that a project kind of is built and then sustainable. And I'm concerned that it may not be. I hope I'm wrong. Page 40.
I'm sure you are winding them up.
Pardon?
I'm saying if you can just wind them up.
Yes, no, well, I warned you, I have lots of questions.
Yeah.
All right, so the same on page 44, also the same type of thing, the various destinations that have been identified. If you could just explain how you got to these particular destinations, in other words, you know, will tourists actually in the end, once money's been spent here, will we get it back with tourists going to visit these places? How was it reached that these places were identified? On page 47, talk about infrastructure, maintenance and so forth. So reading between the lines, and also I noticed that there seem to be lots of tourist attractions that have gone to disrepair, that were possibly great at one stage and have reached disrepair. The question is, first of all, how did it get to that? And in projects like these where you're trying to reinvigorate it, how do we know it's not going to go into disrepair in the future? This is just as an example. There are many others, but I just wanted to pick that one. Chair, I'm trying to rush through as fast as I can.
You know what I think we can do, Honorable President? You can hold on to your questions. We allow the rest of the honorable
okay.
members to ask.
Okay.
In an instance where whatever you may have identified has not been raised by either of them, we'll then come back to you. Is that okay with you? Thanks, Honorable. Honorable Gombe.
Thank you very much, Chair. Can you excuse me as well if I ask a bit of elementary questions? I would like to find out is this 1% tourism, 1 or 2% tourism levy? What is it for? Where does it go to? What is it for and where does it go to? The 1% tourism levy that we see. The grading council, now I have an understanding necessarily of what I think is total net benefit is the grading council. Do all establishments have to be graded through the grading council? And what is the net benefit or loss of not having every place graded? We spoke a bit about the role of SA missions and I think foreign embassies. But we didn't. The presenter didn't give enough meat to it, and I would like to understand what are some of the practical things that foreign missions do in order to promote tourism, and what would be envisioned in future for those embassies and missions. There's the MOU with the universities. Now, I'm guessing that's its own topic on its own. But what are some of the questions that we would want answered at that conference from those MOUs? Because the department obviously it keeps running. Whether there's a new parliament or not, there's a change in minister or not. There's a number of challenges that is faced by the department, and so they would want a number of questions answered over the long run as we grow the sector. So what are some of the questions that you want answered? And then I'm sure hopefully at some other point in time in the committee we would be able to run through some of these MOUs necessarily and how are they assisting the department. If we could please just get a status of the blue flag beaches. I know, for instance, there are some areas or some provinces or municipalities who have, over the years, become disinterested in blue flag beaches. Maybe if it's because they were unable to attain blue flag status or not. But can we have just an understanding on what is the current status of the blue flag beaches, so how many have such a status or not? And kind of like the plan to ensure that there is that level of cooperation so that all levels of government necessarily want to attain a blue flag status. And then I think the last question of mine was asked by the Honourable Sophrantis about around, for instance, the Northern Cape. So it just was quite interesting to see how some of these destinations were chosen and whether we're putting our money in the right places. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Kruger.
Yeah, Humbug Chair, like my colleagues will also learn.
Okay.
So I have a few specific questions. On page 25, we had a brief report on the research done by the department. It took a long time, best part of 6 years, to get the department to commission a research to establish what the optimal amount of foreign advertising would be to reach a point where we are spending the right amount of marketing our country. And that was a good moment for this committee, and we got it done by our university in England, and there was a pilot study done using, we were told, the Nordic countries to test the model and to see if we could then fine-tune our advertising spending to then inform the budget. So We haven't heard about that today. In fact, we haven't heard much since. You know, a couple of years ago now, we were a bit told about it, and I'd like to know, if we can't hear about it today, I would ask you, Chair, to deschedule a meeting where we can have a report on that, because SA Tourism, as you know, is the single biggest component of our budget, and advertising is the single biggest component of their budget. So we need to get to grips with that study, what it's telling us, and how we are optimally going to market our country. What has not really been said too much, other than a very detailed presentation, as is always the case, is precisely what we're going to do differently to start getting domestic tourism to be successful. Because domestic tourism is actually going backwards in the last couple of years, particularly the VFR component, visiting friends and relatives, and it's only because of business trips that we didn't have a bigger decline, and a very, very significant decline in the number of trips for domestic tourism. So I'd be interested to hear whether there's been any fresh thinking by the department, and possibly a change of strategy, because it does seem as if it's more of the same, and we're not succeeding on domestic tourism. Then on page 30, it links up to some extent with what my colleagues have said to my right, and that is the reliance that our department and our portfolio has on other departments like security, local government, arts and culture, transport, domestic tourism work. And I was wondering, in terms of these projects that are being identified by Shamila, have we made a list of, for example, the 10 most popular resorts in every province, and that the ministers get together with their counterparts, as I've mentioned, in the other portfolios, and make sure that whatever the problem is that's dissuading people from going to that resort, that it is addressed. So we don't have tourism saying, well, we have this huge tourism resort, but it's a turnoff for visitors, it gets slammed on TripAdvisor, and as a result, people start to leave. And I'll give you a practical example. There's only one waterfall that I know of in the middle of a town, a significant town at that, in the whole country, and that's in Howick. And I represent Howick in Parliament, so I do regard Howick as the centre of the universe. But it's the only place with a waterfall. And yet that tourist site, which has been very popular over the years, has had a catastrophic decline in international visitors, which is up to about 250,000 a year, because there's drunkenness, there's prostitution, the safety and security is not actually working, and 40% of the businesses that support that particular tourist spot have closed down. Now that's a very, very good example of how local government, safety and security and tourism need to work together, and their jobs have been lost. Many jobs have been lost, contrary to what we expect tourism to do, which is create jobs. So I'm interested to hear whether the minister and her counterparts and the other members of the cabinet are actually working together to find the hotspots and clean them up. And also to hear about these other ones, which are obviously the easy to go to ones that Shamila has presented to us. And then on that, we had a very disturbing report in the last term about the SRI projects, where a lot of them had to be closed down, they weren't expected to continue, others were poorly run, and there was a further injection of capital. I'd like for us to see those very same reports, and I'd like a report on what's happened to that turnaround strategy for the 20-odd that we had reported on last time. Some were successful, others were irredeemable. There was a fairly widespread of that. Right, then on page 53, there's reference to the grading council. Honorable Gumby has mentioned that, but what we're seeing here is that there is a discount scheme that's been proposed. It's always been the view of our party, and we don't bring party politics into this committee, but I had understood from Fed Haasa and from the other stakeholders that testified and made presentations to our committee that the idea that we should scrap the grading fee that make it compulsory was the way the industry was moving. It was the exact words that the Fed Haasa representative said that. So a compulsory grading, but paid for by the department. I'm a bit disappointed to see now we've only taken a half measure, and then it's just some. What is the current thinking on that, and are we going to go to a system which ensures that our brand positivity overseas is not degraded, not to mix and match, but by bad experiences because of a lack of grading, and find the funding through other ways. The actual grading income fee that we get is not very much. It's a tiny, tiny part of the budget, and I'd much rather have that picked up by the department and keep the South African international reputation intact, which to me is a far bigger money issue. My second last question, Chair, I'll be brief. Again, my colleagues have raised this. I doubt whether 1 in 10,000 people in the country have been to meet. I would venture to add that other than the people on the department, I guess, that only half the people in this room actually know where Mia is. And it's a tiny place, it's probably one of the most isolated towns in the world. It's got a little finger that sticks up into Namibia and Botswana. It's miles away from anything. I'm very intrigued that we're having a tourism incubator there, because I would think it's probably the last item that anyone's going to have on their bucket list, and they're going to want to go look at a whole lot of other places first. So I'm intrigued to see what the reasoning was for that. And then finally, on page 65, there's a report on the chefs' induction and training program. We did hear last term about the program being relatively successful, but it had a fairly high dropout rate, which is disappointing because this is, you know, taxpayers' money being used, and the department is reaching out to these young men and women. I'd like to find out what the success rate is this time around. Is there an update? Are we managed to retain the people throughout their internship and turn out to the industry someone with a good grounding in that work? Or is the dropout rate still a matter of concern? Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Another one here. Kalim. Thank you very much. Mine is very simple, Honorable Chair. All your information and dissemination platforms, prospects. I just want to get an indication to which stakeholders or role players which were worked in by the department in these sessions. I'm asking that question, Honorable Chair, because I know for a fact that in your Alfred and Zodi Sulu municipality, there are many community-based organizations which are very much interested, and they are having projects on tourism. But I never got a sense that these people are being, or these CPOs are being assisted by the department. So I just wanted to get that kind of an information. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Gallo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by saying historically, taking from 2 years ago, the development somewhere in terms of political that's a big motivation. Whereas we are noting the regression on the supply chain, and we also note the reduction of the wasteful expenditure. So, at least we know where. And Chairperson, I don't want to repeat what the first speaker has done. But it is also it is very important to stress that the issue of projection. When you say by 2026 we'll be reaching zero two zero, that can we add it to annual projection, so that the accountability can be easy. Because if you are talking of 2026, it's going to be difficult to check on the performance. And again,
just avoiding going to bridges, because we are making those. The transformation part, to me, it is commendable that the executive itself is transformed. And at the same time, to me, transformation doesn't only talk of gender, it talks of urban, rural, all those things. So, what are the tangible problems from the rural area? From, what are we saying to the villagers? People from the villages, what are they benefiting out of our problems? That's the point I'm trying to drive. And because, as far as I know, in the rural area, the people who have done travel tourism at school, they are the most one who are, have been left out of in terms of participating in the program. The focus is more on left side, but travel tourism is just, you know, it's just graduated for to stay in. That's what is happening on the country. And again, when we talk about improvement of creation of jobs, please let us not include PWP. If our statistics are including PWP, we are including the country. Because my experience say, in the previous time, when we deal with national minimum wage, if PWP's jobs were excluded for the years in that they are not employment, they are training and development to excuse the So immediately when we talk of jobs we include them, then it means we don't know when they have to benefit, we call them employed. We call them not employed. And then when it's time for us to shine, we include them in ourselves. It can't be correct. The reason that they were excluded out of that thing is because they're not jobs. So the other question is, these parks, these tourist destinations, are they owned by the department? Or owned by other county departments or by private persons? The reason why I'm asking is that when we travel, especially at the west of Timor, there is one of them is a park of some sort. That was about to be this something else. So I just want to check, because we some of us, we went there thinking we can get that, but we didn't get all the things that we did not do. At the end, the thing is not operating at all. It was empty because the department is leaving it or selling it. I don't know what is the reason why it is. So, and the other issue is the issue of dropout. When we say we have left the Northern Cape because of the dropouts, what are we saying to the group of the Northern Cape? What are the challenges? What are the causes of these dropouts? What are the causes of these dropouts? And what are we doing to assist in that regard? Because to me, we can't just say this problem is very lot of problems, then we leave it out of the picture, and then that it can be. But I didn't hear anything that is done after this failure. Finally,
CEO studies and suspended. What are the alleged transgressions? I don't want to say what are the transgressions, because it's not their chance to know all the job, but what are the alleged transgressions? Because you can't just be the president of this committee and just say someone is suspended, the senior person is suspended within the department, and then we don't know for what. Thank you very much.
Okay, Dr. Matika, our next speaker is Honorable Kali. I'm sorry for confusing you earlier. Who administrator is the one who is doing the checking for me, but who is the next speaker? So I mean, I'm just following instruction here. But I'll get used to our names and our faces. Yeah, so I'll sort it out in the future for you forward. Yeah, your colleague.
Ladies and gentlemen, chapter 9 is on slide number 9. So we are talking about training of tow operators related to domestic consumption. What I'm trying to find is the situation. And that is the method problem. And they push which area of focus the figure of the problem. Because if they just put it in the training of operators, but there's no estimation of the problem. How many did they change in the problem? So how many did they have to for the problem? And even the municipality, because it can help to monitor it. And the other 2% is on slide number 21. Talking about development of policy framework, support mission, policy development and information. Now, I'm trying to check this in another sense, the time frame. If they can actually give us the time frame, because if it is just a trend, it doesn't actually help us to monitor. And the other chairperson is on slide number 34. Where they talk about development context and facilitate a mission program for the promotion of the next township, rural township, rural tourism development and methodology. If the area of focus in township and the rural areas, where are they focusing on the rural and the township? And the problem is they can say, at what we must tell, they have so many. In the other plans, there are so many to work. We have given the township, we have three townships and four townships. If they can actually give us the chapter. And the last one, chapter, is on slide number 52. On slide number 52, chapter, the if you can check that they are talking about local government policy. PL learning network working for municipal practitioners conducted in four provinces. What I'm trying to find out is where they are talking about four provinces. What is happening to other provinces? What are the other provinces? Let me check it. Okay.
Comrade Honorable Tia.
Thank you, Professor. Let me start by acknowledging the fact that the department has complied now that the APC is a contract. There are most of the departments that never disappointed. Why is this thing funny? Stop
protection.
Thank you for that. Minister first, I congratulate you both on your appointment as one of the leading departments, as yourself and the deputy minister. We're looking forward to working with you. But when I was listening to the president's statement, it started by saying, I have a dream. I think the department is there to fulfill the president's dream. If the president says it expects you to facilitate the bringing of 21 million visitors in 2020, I am asking myself a question to say, 2030, what will they find us doing as South Africa? Will we still be the ones who are just getting opportunity of being employed? It's not about tourism, it's not about employment only, it's about all other things, benefiting in the value chain. Let me put it that way. I once heard you, Minister, in another platform, if the applicant were been applying through the department for funds or whatever grants that is there, you are not going to let go when it is said this one did not qualify. You are going to follow up to ask what made them not to qualify. And I said bravo to that. Because some want to participate, they lack funding, they lack whatever. So it is your responsibility as the department to make sure that everyone is active in the space of tourism. There is something called a transformation fund in the department. I don't think the 5 million is enough, but we must all lobby so that fund is we have a huge challenge. Transformation is a problem, so we can't rely on the 5 million. When I look at the vision and the mission of the department, I'm okay, but I'm asking myself a question. Are the policies and the action plans addressing the current problem? Is what you are doing as a department enough, or is it the base that is a challenge? We understand, Minister, that this is the start of a term, the sixth administration. You are still familiarizing yourself, you are still getting your house right the way you want it. You are still asking yourself some questions. Who is doing what where? I'm asking another question to say, how is that person doing that thing, and also with whom, for what purpose? Who's benefiting out of that? I'm asking those questions when you are just trying to get yourself right. There's a lot that South Africans are expecting from tourism, and it was said that they are going to benefit. There is also this thing of saying the majority of South Africans are to be employed. It's not employment that we only want to follow. We want to supply, we want to be active in whatever way, we want to be there. We want these 21 million visitors to also enjoy the village lifestyle. There is a program that was piloted, the program of homestay. A person in a village must be able to host visitors. This, a rural woman or man must be able to cook our traditional food and supply. You must not be employed by big business to be able to cook imifino there. You must cook imifino and other traditional stuff in the village where you are. We understand, Minister, in the department, that tourism is a concurrent function cut across others. But I think your responsibility is to coordinate other spheres and other stakeholders, because we don't only need a same liberation route that people know of. We need some connection to the main liberation route, because you can have sites that are internationally recognized. There must be those that are nationally, provincially, district, local, and village sites. Through that coordination, because there will be other road players in the in that sector, so that when we ensure this destination development to attract these tourists, if a person visits South Africa by 2016, at least by 2021, there must be other destinations. I think it's not the beginning of the financial year, it's the beginning of the sixth administration. Other questions will reserve that when you come to report on your quarterly performance. We'll ask those questions then. Thank you very much.
Honorable Gumba. Sorry.
Thank you.
You know, it's about 11 months that there's no been using the word honorable. Well, yes, thank you for doing it.
Celebrating nationally. Are we giving attention to that
that destination, tourism destination, much effort given to other departments, to other tourism destinations. I was giving it to that part because we do celebrate it annually. It's a Saturday day because of the democracy that we know is coming from that area. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Democratified,
sorry about it. Democratified. Yeah. Thanks, sir. Maybe let me start by welcoming the presentation, sir. And of course, mine is as comments. The white paper, sir. As everyone has said, most of the issues raised in the market are definitely, there are some areas that require some, you know, us to revisit some areas that are no longer relevant. Chair, in growing tourism across all spheres of government, at the national level, provincial level, I would suggest that maybe the department should consider convening as a matter of agency or towards the end of the year a national tourism summit where all stakeholders will be invited and probably participate in shaping a way forward. So as to also realize the gap in tourism. I'm talking about the township tourism, but I don't think we've done enough to ensure that at least the gap in tourism of the township is really realized. Now, the innovations share acknowledged and the comprehensive rural development. On that one, I'm reluctant to say. Hope is not a all size with all approach or plan, but must be categorized in terms of different sectors with rural development. Because you do get well established, you know, farmers and game farmers who might easily hide behind your rural notion. So we not contribute effectively as expected to the tourism sector. So I would really take note of that as we move forward. So it must not be a blanket approach. Then sir, without raising any rocking the boat, I think the Honourable Minister, colleagues are right, there must be a feeling, at least we must feel that there is a new boss in the room. The state administration needs to make a speech. This notion of Kaulet must be realized. Then my other point is our focus on adding other destinations. I think my colleague has also alluded to that one. The last one, sir. Okay, EPC. Now, I think this one is affinity. Good. I've tried to, yes, I've been trying to. Very cautious on how I now government has already taken a decision to implement land expropriation without compensation. Surely some stakeholders who might be against us will present anything that is to paint a negative picture in terms of jobs, job losses, possible downgrade of the economy. But listening to the presentation, Minister, we do have a good story to tell. So I think as a matter of, you know, a process moving forward, our researchers, through the mandate of the honorable minister, of course, should start considering doing some scientific research that will complement the decision. Not to talk against that, but something that will complement the decision taken by government moving forward. You know, leveraging from the good story that you have just presented. Lastly, the epidemic program, I agree with you, must be fully supported as a cut across government interventions to fight poverty until the country will grow our economy for full-time opportunities. Otherwise, Chair, I think we must support the annual performance plan as presented to us. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Peter. That's a kind of a question. Mining town, mining property. What is the
township become? Because in my view, there is no effort to coordinate it. It can be only the department of tourism. Even other departments, other clusters, the economic cluster. What should be a plan? Like statement, but there are no efforts put by the department. But now we'll talk about the department of tourism. Your rural, our other honorable already has mentioned your village. And the reason why our people will move from village and town to everything is because there are no coordinated as the idea and plan to support rural and tourism. If you go to other areas, people will talk about motion, down, but all the products to be in the village. And if you go now in other areas already, they are transformed to be like the rural. There is no plan. All our ideas in the rural and township are taken by everybody because there are no plans. Whether from the department, whether from government, but we are also not putting money. It's always people, they will always raise an issue that if you go to a rural, go to a township, it's a risk for anything. And there are no efforts. But we must also welcome the teaching, the team, the implement we are now about the teaching. But not only will also the interest, not only at senior management, what will be the lower management? Very important that we must get that type of effort that we will be confident that what we see in the senior management is also in the lower. The training is also presented. I also have an interest why the proper thing in Northern Cape. If there was any business in the Northern Cape entitled to the provincial government or the local government, why? I've been working in local government. I know the local government, but tourism is not tourism. And what I would say that the department is to perform local government. We're working together to start. It's important that the department must not only have people sitting in the government, but to go to what we want to do. And spend time, to support local government. And we are privileged here, Minister, because we are a former country. And I hope that we have passion to support the local government. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Khalid. Honorable Ibrahim, are you?
The last Honorable Chair. The status of your office, what is the status of your department? Chief of the department.
Okay. The Honorable Makube, the chairperson. Over to you.
In the short term and the long term of this baseline reduction. Thank you.
give us confidence in how best are we, how best are our tourism small businesses and targeted sectors going to be benefiting from this in your plan moving forward. And then the other issue is also on the tourism incubator that we're specifically looking into tour operators. You know, every day in the country we hear a story about tour operators who are trying to get into the industry but they're not able to get proper training, or they're not able to get their certification. You know, it's wide ranges of issues or tour operators that you can't align the qualification with the all those that are foreign trying to get into the system. You know, how can you assist us on getting to understand how far have you resolved the issues of poor operation? Whether also this incubator would be looking at ironing out and fixing those issues that are around the incubation. And the last question is around the project that you've spoken about that talks to the maintenance program that is implemented in the various parts around the country. I want to get an understanding whether this project or program is linked to the EPWP project. So that we best understand the model of the project and its implementation, whether it's a short-term thing or whether it's a long-term project around the same park and the maintenance.
Okay, thanks very much, Chairperson. Honorable Defector, are you covered? You can just go to those that may have not been covered. I made a promise, so I just want to fulfill my promise.
Thank you, Chair. I still have quite a few, so can I suggest that I'll perhaps send my questions in writing, because I think
you're
not going to meet your deadline.
Sure.
So I'll do it through the committee secretary. Thank you.
That's very progressive. That's very progressive, sir. From my side, honourable members and the collective led by the minister, just briefly, not in the immediate. If we can go forward, always indicate how the behaviour of our current strengths and weaknesses is impacting on the tourism sector. The second one is on the fishing, and this is just a remark. I've been making this remark for the last 15 years. We want to create a united, democratic, non-racial, non-state system of pastoral society, the National Democratic Society. Now, when you look at the various departments, including tourism, now, the summary of this society I'm talking about is in the Constitution of the Republic. It's in the preamble. We, the people of South Africa, we want to build a united and democratic South Africa. So it's embedded here in the Constitution. Now, when you look at the visions of various departments, there's no expression of that long-term type of society we want to create. The visions of departments speak about confinement to what the department itself wants to do. That's why in most cases the lines are blurred between the vision and the mission in most of the departments. I'm just saying something as my fellow honorable member, you may want to just think about
going forward. It's a battle that we may not win, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't highlight it, because that's the type of society we want to create. And if all the departments were to say, yes, this is the type of society we want to create that is in the Constitution, so that the consultants don't misdirect us when we do consultation on the work that we give to them to suggest to us on the vision and mission. That's the second point, which you may not respond to, Minister. It's just a point on some of the dynamics in the country. I just want to also add to what our honorable members have said. And because I'm going to be one of the speakers, so I must just mention now here that I'm going to make this point during the debate. To take the total number of villages in Kalamazoo and say we have got this total number of villages in South Africa. And if it takes 10, we will outline the role played by tourism in each one of the villages. You will see that it's very like you if you go village by village. From the villages, I will then speak about the townships. So say South Africa has got this total number of townships and the activities of tourism and what accrues to our people there in the township in percentage terms. This is the impact it has made. From there, we will go to the small town that honorable members have raised here. Now, the small towns in South Africa, a product of both colonialism and apartheid, they have a history which we must have. We can't hide that history in a positive way. Now, we will have, and when you look at the small towns, they are the ones that actually, the village people depend on the small town for almost everything. Throughout South Africa, wherever you go, there are many of us who come from villages. We depend on the small dorms. Now, I will also include in the debate the issue of the small town, the small dorms, and how we will suggest that tourism, the interplay between the villages, the townships, and the small towns, as far as tourism is concerned, we think the department should be looking at. Because if we can start speaking specific villages, the townships, and the small towns, our people will believe that, you see, in Parliament they are specifically talking about us. We may not be able to mention all the villages, but at least we should be able to say in every province there are, this is the total of villages. Because when you disaggregate poverty, inequality and unemployment, and we don't talk it in general terms, we zoom into a village by village, we have a bit of a catastrophe in the country actually. So I just thought my honorable minister indicate that point is going to come across the speech on the 10th, and we will also indicate that we have full confidence in you and the collective of tourism that you are going to be attending to this, because it's true, but for full confidence in you and the rest of the collective that you are waiting with. That's the second point. The third point is on the third point is on our young people who are from the education system. I will suggest that you make it your conviction to fight for learners that come from our education system who are doing tourism, particularly things that are related to the service sector, that are relevant to the needs of the economy of South Africa. So we'll have to zoom into that particular state. I will suggest that part of the detail that going forward the department may want to look at around SMME is to isolate entrepreneurship development. Because when we talk about SMEs, in most cases, we refer to it in broad terms and in passing. So going back to the village by village thing and township by township, we should be able to quantify and say, village by village, township by township, as far as entrepreneurship development is concerned, in numerical terms, how many people have now been induced by the department to get into SME sector but becoming entrepreneur and the various types of entrepreneurship opportunities that exist there. I hope Honorable Minister will help me in this regard to make the entire government understand that tourism department is sort of your marketing department of South Africa. It's sort of your marketing department. So if it was to be a company, then you look at the marketing division in that particular company. Because you what you are producing as a company can't be consumed unless you market it effectively. So I hope you can speak to your colleagues, honorable members who are staying here, and to say in specific terms, department by department, how do they contribute themselves in making sure that we sell South Africa better. The last point I want to make is on the media in South Africa. And I know that all of us will agree on that point, that we must ask the media of this country to sell South Africa better. I mean, the amount of negativity that you see in the media space about our country. By the way, there are horrible things going on in the UN. Horrible things. But because of the patriotic nature of bigger sections of the media there, you never get to know what is the thing. Example, the U.S. So we will have to see how we engage the media in this country. Not to hide things, but to become patriotic. So there are certain things that you can say in a particular way because of particular circumstances for the country. Other than that, Minister, we can just assure you that we have the support of the committee. We will not adopt an antagonistic approach to doing oversight on the department. It will be very positive, but incisive and very focused at the same time. We are giving over to you now, Minister, and your collective. Honorable members, can we please stand still after as well? It's okay. It's
sure.
Now
a few minutes. I've got another meeting at work. I took you seriously when you said I've got 12.
the honorable member next to you there. And I will ask you that in future you sit next to him, honorable Defrighter, so that you manage him for me.
I'm going to ask questions, sorry.
I will be very glad.
I'm going to ask questions.
If
sorry.
You can do that. No, that was just on a lighter note. But we get to approach.
I just didn't want anyone to think I was rude, but as soon as I get my questions answered, I'm going to have to leave. I'll be late anyway.
Thank you very much.
Not disrespecting the questions from others.
Thanks very much, honorable member. You are
Mr. Nixon, shall we agree that let me allow the official to start with any of the myself and here.
My co-chair will say in the meantime. I'm just going to see the.
Thanks, Minister. I think I have two questions that I'm able to respond to. The first one is that we've addressed the issue of women as a representative. That is at 50%, but what about the rest of the 100%. And then the other issue around media showcasing or reporting on positive developments around the country. In our comments for this financial year, we've included the need to improve media relations and coverage. So we expected that on a quarterly basis, and when it comes to Parliament, we will report on it. Thank you, Chair. I will go straight to the means. Even last year when you indicated that we, the year before, that we wanted to come up with a new data in the means, I remember Honorable Arthur saying, there's no one there. But what is good is that our ninth World Heritage Site is found in the country. How do we prepare them to be ready for them to be able to capitalize on whatever policy benefits that will be coming their way? And it's one of those rural areas where poverty is quite high. How do we help them to really to include them in the tourism issue? So that's how the incubator is a very chain, so they will be able to support each other as they go forward. If you remember when, it's where you have the four people only who can speak that language, the Khoisan language within the state. How do we keep that place? Already we have started with a storytelling around them together with some parts, so that we have tour guides coming out of the community to be able to really get the benefits out of the incubator and other areas. On the incubator, Honorable Chairman, we have the four which are half-day, but we realize that they are going to take quite long to really can reach all the positive benefits of the incubator. Hence, the new ones, we are doing them off-air. What's even good for the tour operators is that these are the people who are always meant most of the time. They cannot be confined to, let's say, for a week or two in a specific state. But as they do their business, they can have plenty of time for them to be able to really capitalize on what we need as a capacity on. For startups, we are going to have 90. 10 per province ideal, but we know that there will be provinces that will have less and others and more. On the blue flag, it forms part of the coastal marine. It is a voluntary ecological beaches, marina, and it's a symbol which most of the tourists outside of the country will check as one of the countries for them to be able to go to the beach. Four provinces which are coastal are participating in that, with the exception of Northern Cape, because the Northern Cape beaches are not so far up that we need to be here. Eastern Cape, the most active municipalities in Zimbabwe and Nelson Mandela, have managed to increase the number of beaches. So most of the beaches are within the Western Cape. It's the one with the highest number of Cape Town is coming a little bit slow. Unfortunately, epic winning with what is happening within their rivers and the coastline, they have lost the data. And I think it will take them quite a while for them to be able to go back onto the data again. The number of beaches that is supported are 50. We intend to bring 25 more, but this will be what we call the data. Thank you.
on rural development, what are the rural communities benefiting out of our program? We have two strategies that are already implemented by us. We have the rural tourism strategy. We also have the cultural and heritage strategy. And these strategies, we have done them together with the Department of Rural Development and Cultural Affairs. We are biased for what rural development. Even our programs are done, so that we have a certain training. We ensure that we go into the rural area, get the young people who are from poverty and right at the corner that we need them to get to. How do we deal with honorable Congress who already have the dropout? The 3 years that I referred to, the first comment that we got, we recruited more as a way of trying to have a when they drop out. This is the third year, none of them have been okay. And the adoption rate, as you know, across all the training programs, the first problem is the best one. And most of them say, even if they don't get that from the kids, some of them, this year, 3 groups have gone to the U.S. The Northern Cape, the training program, the way it is, 30% is on theory, so 70% of these young people must be within the establishment in order to get training. For the familiar program, we struggle to have homes for these young people so that they can get training, besides some of them living in shelter. But for three provinces, that is counting and Northern Cape and Western Cape. The problem is do we follow them up? Do we have the Northern Cape people who have been doing this for quite a number of years? There is an example that I can give on the energy efficiency program, where now we are dealing with 3 provinces. Northern Cape was supposed to give us 10 young people to this program. No, 20. They struggled to get young people who qualify, even said, okay, we are taking down the requirement for Northern Cape because we're looking for Tibet graduates from the electrical and space. Then for Northern Cape, which has been state for 4 years, still they struggle. They only manage to get 10. So the remainder 10 will take it to Northwest. So it's not only this problem that they have struggled, but we know that a lot of poverty is in that space, and we continue to try to see how can we help. On the local government peer learning session, we had 4 in terms of the program, but last year we've already done 5, so we are finalizing in terms of the 4. But it's a program that will continue to give support to local government. As I indicated, we are coordinating this together with SPALS. And it's basically to ensure that where there is potential for tourism in that local community, we are able to start to make them aware and appreciate the benefits that tourism will bring to their state. Starting from water provision, energy provision, the basics that local government is supposed to do. If they are not in place, it's going to be a struggle for tourism to find. So it's more of getting their mindset to understand that they need to do their part for us to be able to. We also have, which is not part of the APC now, but it's in our business plan, the capacity building program that we've been doing over the years, where we can also bring traditional leaders into the space. We ensure that LTOs are formed within the space by indicating to them what is tourism all about, what are the things that they want to be capacitated on, and
can bring several people to be able to give them capacity on this. So the local government here one is more on the, can I say, official side of things. But we do have the one that will deal with the community as a whole, because we believe that if communities don't understand the role of tourism, the issue of the blockages of streets when they are sensitive subjects, they need to understand it will affect tourism coming into that way. The safety issues also come into that. So we need to bring traditional leaders, communities, for them to really understand the way of tourism. The maintenance program, from the our side, is to come up with the enterprise development, so that when these communities have businesses, they will be able to continue to give service to the public identified, and that will serve as a sustainability measure going forward. Okay, the issue of certificate for tour guides, tour operators being a problem. We did sit with Capita and the service providers who are doing this training, because there was a program of communication from the Department of Higher Education in terms of the new issues that they have come up with. So we had several workshops, Western Cape in Gauteng as well, so that Capita can take the service providers through, so that there are no delays in terms of certificate for those who have undergone the training. And we are happy that this has been resolved.
Maybe just to say that when the local exhibition library that will interview chair through the MEC, we have a member to exist, but also approaching directly from the side of the MEC, the MEC.
I've identified five issues I'll go through and put it out but I think just overarching in the work that we do on infrastructure, the way that we prioritize it is to say which are the destinations performing very well and how do we maintain that performance? Which are the destinations that are underperforming? But if we fix some of the infrastructure, should be performing in that first category. And then the last category is which are the stages that don't actually have infrastructure and how do we address that? So we systematically go through that from a strategic perspective. The first issue with the maintenance program, which Jerome said has spoken to our team, the one who has in the other thing, so that it's being implemented in the EPWP model at the moment, but we are working closely with Transmark, who's actually rolled out a supplier development program. And with the DG Rotary's team, so that the teams that we work with in the past, actually in the long term, are also building their businesses, that they become sustainable businesses beyond that. The program that we are funding actually supplements the maintenance budget that Sandpark already has. So it's providing additional money to complete more of the maintenance that needs to be done, and the funding is over 2 years period. The second issue is around the ownership of the facility. So facilities are either in the ownership of national entities like Sandpark and Sandy, or in the ownership of provincial entities, whether it's provincial parks or World Heritage Sites, or arts and culture owns some of the assets that are in fact tourism assets, but it talks to the arts and culture story. So the way that we work with them is that where we fund specific programs, and those are the ones that we've spoken to in our APP, we have MOUs, detailed project plans that we work towards as a collective, and they are jointly managed through a project steering committee that is comprised of all of the stakeholders. So that's the way that we ensure that that work continues, even though we aren't the owners of that asset. The next issue then relates to the identification of sites, and there are two questions. The one was about the master plan. The second one was about the work that we're doing on rural and niche tourism. The master plan work, and as I said, we went through an extensive process for operations and keepers across the region. And through process. These areas were identified by stakeholders that are in provinces and in local government and the private sector. So the new master plans, which are in the coastal and marine areas, have in fact been identified through that process. In addition to the work done initially at the lab, we have now mapped the entire coastline to understand the supply that exists and the demand that we know is coming from the business. And we use that then to say, what was the gap between supply and demand, and how do we address that gap? So there's been a very thorough process by identifying both the regions and within the regions and the master plans, the initiatives that we've been taking through. The Sutherland to Carnarvon one, the logic of that master plan is of course linked to the FTA, but it's also linked to the work that South has been doing around regional economic development, which I think it is 36 municipalities in the Kuru region. So the logic of that master plan then is linked to a much bigger sense of work. With regards to the rural and niche tourism work that we're doing, we haven't yet rolled out where in specific areas. We usually work in partnership with the province and with the local authorities to identify which areas they want us to actually develop in place. So later in the third quarter, we will be able to tell you more where those areas are. In terms of sustainability of the master plan, that's a big issue. We are not just working on broad master plans with really broad team ideas. We're also looking then at the pipeline of projects that we need to invest in. And we are working together with provinces and local authorities to make sure that those find expression in the IDP as well as in the provincial plan. So that work is basically only going to be completed this year, and the intention is exactly not that they become just copies on the shelf that get done to, but that they actually then go into the next set of planning that happens at the provincial and local government level to make them a reality. Master plans usually take between 5 and 20 years to implement beyond. That's the major thing. And then the last issue is really related to the expanded public works program and what has become of the work that we've done in the GSEC review process that was previously presented. I think that at some point we will of course report on the progress that we've made, but just to say overarching, we have taken all of the recommendations from GSEC on board, and at the moment we are progressively implementing those recommendations at two levels. One, in terms of specific projects that we have to finish and actually address, and the second one, in terms of the work that we are now doing to integrate our systems and improve things for projects going forward.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I'm going to go through the questions as they came from, starting with Honourable Kaitos, and I think Honourable Kumbi also asked a question around the research and the research agenda, so I'm going to take those two together. Honourable Kaitos wanted to understand wanted to understand the jobs and whether we have done specific research on the job creation, just to indicate that we have a very clear understanding of how many jobs are created in the tourism sector. It is measured through Statistics South Africa. It comes with a bit of a lag, so the latest information for 2017. We do our own estimations for the interim year. But we do have a very clear understanding of how many, where they are in terms of the sector industries that make that contribute to the sector, in terms of male, female, and all of that. So we do have a very clear understanding of where the jobs are or where they have been created. We do some work, and I think the skills audit that CTS was doing was also contributing to this research in terms of where are the gaps. you know, what, how do we make sure that the supply responds to the demand in terms of jobs and the need. So in terms of the skills order, there's specific recommendation in terms of which skills must be developed, and that is what they are responding to in that program. Of course, in the research that we do, jobs and contribution to economic growth is always part of what we measure. But I just wanted to highlight that. Linked to the question around the MOU with university, at the moment, or starting from 2012-13, that's when we started with the program, with the MOUs with universities. We started with five universities way back. As I said, when I presented, we have a national tourism research agenda with eight themes and many focus areas and proposed topics, and I'm sure at some point we might be able to come and present on those. And those respond to the needs identified by the department, but also identified by the sector. We are this year finishing this current financial year, our MOUs with the universities. So throughout the year, we are going out on a call for proposals to different, to other, or to a call to all universities to express the interest of whether they would like to partner with us in the research, especially those universities that have tourism as a focus area, of course. Honourable Kumu is not here now. I would have loved to hear which research he was referring to, the foreign study. It wasn't something that we did, so it will be good to just to get an understanding of which study he's referring to. It was a foreign study, done by foreign, wasn't done by the department. In terms of the research seminar, it's an open invitation to all our stakeholders. I didn't mention when I presented that as part of our research process or program, we also have a committee with provincial departments specifically focusing on research and statistics to make sure that we align our methodologies across provinces and national. So we work very closely with them. It's open for anyone to attend. In terms of the NTSS projections, yes, we do have annual targets. We can provide that for the variables that in the NTSS. What we are working now on through what we call game changers and is actually called master plan for the sector is how do we align those to the 21 million, so that we have those targets. How do we measure domestic and international tourism? International tourism, international arrivals, if we speak about international tourist arrivals, it's published by Statistics South Africa through data, movement data that we get from the Department of Home Affairs. So all the movement data is captured by the Department of Home Affairs, then is translated into tourist arrivals according to the definition of the UNWTO and published by Statistics South Africa. Comes out every month with a 2 month lag, so we have April now, so April 2019. Domestic tourists, there's a household survey at Statistics South Africa that measures domestic tourism and contribution. The contribution of domestic and international tourism to job creation and job creation economic growth is measured through the tourism centralized account, also done by Statistics South Africa. So we, as far as possible, rely on statistics published by the official statistical agency. Illegal immigrants, we remember of a number of committees that is chaired by the Department of Home Affairs as part of a wide range in stakeholders, including Committee on Migration, cross-border and precincts and all of that where we contribute towards. But they lead and we part of the members from the three stakeholders.
Honourable Marco Pereira, I'm actually reduction of the African tourism advice law. I'm sure I will be able to say more tomorrow, but I think that's the reality that we are trying to do that every year. We need less money, and we need to be more with the less money, and we need to be more creative in the way that, that we do things. But it is not always that we do that.
Collected by a formation called sponsor, which members of the industry then put that money into sponsor, auditable, whether it's collected through the proper channel. So different establishments would say we will be members to this scheme, and then they would collect. They then pay that money to this sponsor. Sponsor then pays that money. Southern Tourism takes the money, goes to the treasury, declares that this is revenue that came from that particular store, and it then gets reappropriated. It's meant to augment the little budget that we've got in terms of the market. The budget cut, we try to absorb as much as we can. The impact is on scale. When the money goes down, the amount of money will be reduced. It will also be the spread. So the question would be, do you build two half lodges, one in this province, one in that province, or do you forget about one lodge and build one in the province, which will just take more time to get to the other. Really going to affect them. There is a question on what is outcome we anticipate, and that's the dangerous question for an accounting officer to make a public statement about what it will be. At the moment, we are going through the process. We find things, we respond. We find kids, we respond. They will express what they found ultimately. We will accept if that is what it is. And move forward and improve. It's an area of continuous improvement. There will be always something that the AG finds in the past. The grading issues. Again, this is a policy. I'm just going to share information about the practical constraints on the ground without expressing what policy prefers. At the moment, grading is voluntary. If grading was to become compulsory tomorrow, with government paying as was proposed, what it would do is that we must set up roughly between 114 to 140. That's the capacity that we would need in hand. That would go straight into the ceiling of compensation, and it has not gone into what operational requirements they would have. So an inspector would need to drive from Pretoria or whichever center in the province. So we must buy that car, we must put petrol into that and so on. So financially at the moment, it's not feasible. However, if industry was not want to say, we are prepared to pay $5,000 for the establishment of public transport, that would then be something that we would deem to be affordable and probably doable. That's the current environment. This is a question on what are we doing with regard to liberation heritage as part of the product. Chairperson, I can confirm that we've done a lot of work. At some point we would want to be in committee about it. We've done a lot of work. We've done a lot of work when it comes to national heritage monuments. A lot of statues related to the entire period from pre-colonial to colonial to the Handia Hadith right until the 1940s. So we've been part of it, including how this gets to be part of what gets to be marketing for marketing. So that whole exhibition is now at the cradle of mankind. The numbers just short of that. Initially it was in Swanes. The numbers in that site were the way, just short of that. So clearly they said directly, but we are led at all times by the Department of Public Health. And the basis of which is that we do not want to find ourselves in any contestation of the narrative. So that narrative gets to be agreed upon. This is what then we are able to support that as we go in terms of how then people can experience and enjoy it. National parks are owned by the department, was by an entity of the Department of Environmental and that entity is South African National Park. Parks still remain some of the biggest drone parks. So we interact with them in terms of how can we make the experience better, how can we make the place more accessible. At a later stage, as we do other buildings, we will be able to share information about what are we doing with communities and adjustments to the past, such that they can access the opportunities. So this is a very good relationship. We've got memorandum of understanding. And we actually across all these parts of the community. Domestic tourism is
in addition to that, on the problem of the state, I was talking about also the private ones. Mm-hmm. The privately owned lands.
Thank you, Mr. President. I read it as definition of rural area. And this is probably where are we talking about the formative spacing, or are we talking about, as an example, or are we talking about places that are not rich? So if we look at the private game, the extent of transformation has been identified. There was a whole process, a ITCA process that looked at the biodiversity economy. Now, in there, it has identified that those communities, as an example, where they have resolved their issues with regard to the use of their land when they have actually acquired land, either through a social contract or the government. So they are sitting in a better position now to take advantage of that specific economy. There are a couple of communities across the country where center, as they manage the numbers, because they've got to continuously manage the numbers so that doesn't impact negatively on the biodiversity. As they manage the numbers, they transfer some of that stock to those particular communities. So I would call it a low-hanging fruit. It is a bit challenging in terms of development participation because there are a number of stakeholders and PPA issues and so on. But where those PPA issues don't arise, and we're able to send that kind of support, then the issue of which I think I will stop it. The minister has already directed us to up our game on this.
Like the joint sitting of parliament.
That's what it took briefly. Well, certainly agreeing with the observation of the views expressed by the Muslims, in particular with the other around tourism. So not just the whole job.
Monty, a little bit higher, a bit more, speaking softly.
You were talking to my selector, so no, I'm an artist. So you are just asking the selector to increase the volume.
Well, I'm trying my best to increase the volume. I thought the system is working well. The second issue is about the issue of the ownership of parks is privately and done. Both national and world protection parks that are owned mainly for communities as well. That is owned them. Some of them owned by so for the whole range of arrangements in the management. And then the issue that members are raising around ETWT, as you could see, the AGP says it's not necessarily full time. because it's not and it's always called job opportunity. Because it's not technology, it's opportunity. But it does make an impact into delivering the challenges that are coming up. It does make an impact into intervention in the social being. And therefore it's job opportunities is how it is meant. And then the issue that the owner was trying to raise, I think the department the disintegration in terms of provinces, but as we continue to teach what they look for, I'm sure the federal government will then go into details in terms of the achievements and specifics, in terms of what are the things that they've achieved in this country. The issue around the rural areas being the beneficiaries, you know, the tourism is still arranged in terms of the history of mobility. Most flights land in Durban. Then hence housing becomes the first position. And then it goes to the normal big cities that you see. And then the rest becomes perfect. It's a matter that we need to work with provinces, because the marketing is not just done by the national or it's also done by the province. So there should be a collaboration to help us to market the other rural areas, small northeastern territories, so that we are able to make sure that there is a qualitative benefit of tourism in the country. Lastly, the chair, to agree with you, chair, that the department should be looked in the context of it. As a department that is responsible for marketing, the country is working together with the totality of government as well, but as well as private, which is the one that is mandated to market the totality of South Africa in all respects. So there should be a collaboration of ourselves and the government, so that they are able to market.
Thank you very much, Chair and honourable members, for your comments and input. I think it's quite interesting to have this discussion. Quite a number of issues have been reported to, so I will not go into them. To say, firstly, on the issue of the CEO, it was a protected disclosure that has been put to the board, and the board took a decision to be a good individual in terms of appointing an investigation company that exists. My understanding is we got in together with the police, the FAQ chief and the other legislator, that the CEO had no interest. That was the first issue raised as a concern to the board, looking at the matter of process, but sometimes the government is not indicating what you don't have written. It's the matter of how it manages the facility in which them to resolve the matter, but they will process it. They will receive a report this week, report will meet and take a decision and communicate that to the honorable deputy knows the non-communicator. I can't disclose because the process is still on. Otherwise, I can't be public. I don't even know. I do not want to know the details of the investigation until the court comes at all. They have done all some coach in terms of good government. So I thought they must finish, and then once they are done, then they will submit the report. And I will add that point in time.
airports that we're coming to. Now, another member, quite a number of them raised issues starting almost talking about the police. We do have a new council that is also looking at the member. There's been a report that has been done first, and that gives us a sense of where we are. Indeed, transformational issues are a challenge. All the analysts will progress, just to say up front. We are going to sit with the council as the fifth administration of going to be a new council was appointed, and we are going to sit with the council to be able to say these are the priorities, this is what we need to do, these are the issues, so that we look at the report that the report says, and we are able to implement policy. Just to share, part of the concern that the outgone council is raising is the matter of getting people to have shared income values, but necessarily not translating to decision-making abilities in the local administration. So you have people who have shared but not a view, and we are saying how do you translate that? Because if you're talking about ownership, you're talking about that. To be even able to make decisions and constantly talk to the company. So we want to definitely focus on the issues of transition. It's imperative, something that we have to do of our sector in the country. Together again, on the FMLE, members have raised, including the issues around the incentives have raised. We are looking to make pronouncements moving forward. We've had quite a number of people like to give feedback on what needs to be done, what are the challenges and all that. So once we are able to make a pronouncement on the direction we are taking on the incentive program. The other issue that has been raised is around tourism and immigration, Honorable Lenny. It is an issue, but not really, it will be dealt with by Home Affairs. So it does come to us when, for example, we negotiate free visas or we negotiate with the state in the past. So they start raising it to say that we've had an incident like this, where somebody came to the country of the tourist service, and they are able to track to the certain extent for about this time when they are accidents. But it should not deter us from increasing the tourism because it becomes minor. Actually, when you look at the African AU, African Union platform, the discussion is to say, while you're promoting African speaking, are you able to promote free movement on the continent? So it's a decision, it's a discussion that we must have as South Africa and have a position on it. Because others are thinking that when you open the door, actually people are able to come and leave because they know that I can come back anytime I want to come back. Others are saying, but when you open the door, you are telling me to do. It's something that we have to consider as policy, and then at the right time it will be pronounced. But I think for now, for us, the major issue is to be able to say, can we make it easier for anyone who wants to come to South Africa, able to come? And that's why we're excited about the announcement by Home Affairs of e-visa process. It will make it easier for those who have an interest to come into the country, especially in terms of the target market, but we think that they have potential for us to be able to go outside of the country. Then the other issue I want to speak to is around the issue of grading council. Part of the issue that has been raised with us is not only about grading, it's also about whether we can have the grading council as a standalone entity. Now, from government point of view, there is no appetite of creating more institutions. We do not have money, we have fiscal constraints, therefore we have to be cognizant of it. And it talks to what DG was talking about. Are we able, because you don't want to pass policy for the sake of passing things. You have to pass policy and you must be able to enforce that. Now part of the challenge is to say, if we are to make really a compulsory process, how are we going to enforce it? So that's the challenge currently that we have. So once we resolve such matters as part of the discussion that we are having, we'll be definitely come back and also come to the portfolio committee or even some insights so that the discussion can be enriched by the views of members of the committee.
chairperson, but it's something that for now we've decided that we'll not be able to establish a standalone company, which is Grading Council, but we are taking a decision that it will remain within SAT and the entity. Honourable members, there is an issue around coordinating mechanism to deal with the mandates that are out of tourism by and such as issues about infrastructure issues, but mainly around the economic cluster. Fortunate or unfortunate, I'm a culture person of the economic cluster in Cabinet. So part of the responsibility is to be able to oversee the coordination of the work of Cabinet, Cabinet committees and clusters. So of Department of Economic. So, and one of the things he's done from Cabinet and the President has done is to be able to include the some of the elements of the security cluster into the economic cluster. For example, police are now part of the economic cluster because the impact on the security to the economy is dire. So one of the things that we're looking at, for example, is to be able to say, how do we have that conversation to resolve the issue of safety and security for our children? Because when you look globally, the issue that is coming back and the feedback to us as South Africa is that some of the tourists are feeling unsafe in the country because of incidents and all that. So we are looking at a comprehensive mechanism that's been worked but has been done so far in terms of tourism safety. And we think we can enhance with the collaboration and help of our colleagues in the provinces together with the security cluster. So that's another program that we are looking at, making sure that in the coming months we'll announce when we are launching it and how it's going to happen. And there are lessons that we can learn. For example, somebody was sharing with us that in Uganda we have tourist police. How are we able to do that? I don't think Treasury will agree because they would say that it's expansion of the city, so in terms of remuneration. But what are creative other mechanisms that we can do? That's what we go and look at that to be able to do such work but achieve the objectives that we want to achieve. Then the other issue I want to speak to is about training. The training that Chairperson, you have raised and other members, part of the work that we have to do closely is to work with Cape City. Unfortunately, over time, Cape City has not been functioning very well. One of the members would know that at some point it was under administration. They now have a leadership stability. There's a CEO appointed, there's a chairperson appointed at Cape City. And I think that my comfort with the appointment is that the chairperson of Cape City is somebody that has been in the teacher space. And was the chairperson of Health and Welfare Sector, which is has been one of the best people in teacher. So we're hoping that he will take that knowledge into Cape City and assist us to have Cape City functioning effectively, because the issues Honourable Mashele has raised around even the ticking law are the issues that have to be resolved at Cape City so that we are able to get the certificate. So we'll be, as time goes on, engaged extensively with Cape City to be able to work together to resolve the challenges. That's in conclusion, Chair. Quite a number of issues that have been raised, especially with what we have raised, are things that will have to be a proper process to ourselves, reflect upon them as we do our strategy, as we do our five-year plans, both for the department and SAT, to be able to say how do we respond to those issues, how do we position not only the department and the but the South Africa as a threat. Because the President spoke about the issue of the threat. Now we have a responsibility to work together with him someday to be able to say, do we need to rebrand South Africa? And if we need to rebrand South Africa, what are the things that we have to do? And how do we bring everybody on board to be able to understand the issue of branding? And just to enhance what EDG Corporate Services Minister said, was that even from my side as a minister, I'm looking at engaging with the editor so that we can flag some of the issues and the impact thereof, because we all have a responsibility to build South Africa, all of us as individuals, including themselves. So why would you not want to have things? I've started already speaking about in the media space, and some of them have come back to say, we understand what you're raising, let's have a conversation so that we can be able to see what it is that we can help you without constraining. We are too young as journalists to be able to do the work. So thank you very much, Chair. We really looking forward and thank you. And we thank the committee for the input, but that we need to support such an outright decision.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So the grading council question was sufficiently covered. The place where I'm just asked for a little bit more expansion, when you spoke about the tourism levy, so I understand that there's a 1% levy, it goes to TOMSA Tourism Market in South Africa, it's an association which goes to, which gets paid over. But I don't know if I missed the end part, it's quite far from that. Because I'm trying to unpack the benefits necessarily of the levy. So why would, for instance, I as an institution, if it's voluntary, why would I pay for it? What do I get out of that? I'm trying to understand the origins of when it started or why that it happened. If you could just quickly just in a line or two just inform me about that. But otherwise, if anyone wants to come to this.
It's not money coming from the establishment.
they're just assisting in the collection. The jobs that we get from Statistics South Africa, don't include civil and military jobs for the choice. They are sector-based jobs coming from all entire value chain of tourism, service accommodation, all this. And the job opportunities that we target is what we ourselves assist with getting that.
But just to remind colleagues that in the induction of honorable members, when it comes to the issue of illegal food across categories, it was mentioned that, of course, the matter was highly challenged, but the matter is clearly with the government.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I also take the opportunity to thank the Honorable Members and the collective of our administration from the Tourism Portfolio Committee, Minister, Deputy Minister, our relationship, as I said, will not be antagonistic, it will be reciprocated, but it will be very incisively constructive. It means that we will not sweep things under the carpet, those that we are supposed to be dealing with objectively. It means that we will not throw stones at the department, but we will draw the attention of the department objectively to what is to be done, based on what the department has actually committed in annual performance plans and so on and so forth. The lines and channels of communication are very open between at all levels, between the portfolio committee and the Department of Tourism. I think after about 4 to 6 months, we will have reached a point of convergence in as far as what we envision to be the role that must be played by tourism is concerned. And we will keep the department abreast of what we are doing. So we are not policy users. We are simply making sure that what is in the Constitution of the Republic to strengthen the three arms of the state is being upheld. That's all. The inputs were very qualitative. We are very happy that we can see that you invested time, you invested resources into preparing for this particular meeting. So that investment we can see. So we appreciate that we've got, I love to call them not bureaucrats, Chair. I always say in the process of us developing revocrats. So it must be from bureaucrats to becoming revocrats, right? So I'm very happy that it's quite clear that in broad terms we are in that direction of making sure that indeed we deliver to the masses of our people, this villager and the township people. Majority of us here, if not all, We are villagers from township. So for the next slide here, we are just going to be a village township. Township, what you see for our people. But thank you very much. I think we also in the process learned a lot from your input. Yes, and the small door. Thank you very much, Minister, Deputy Minister, and your collective. Honorable members, thanks very much. We drank the lunch. A little bit, we apologize.
Monday, then. Next Monday.
You want to talk?